I need a way to be, you know, with nature, be with my family, friends, and close to nature, and be in a slower pace while simultaneously I'm fired up and racing forward on a campaign that's urgent. And how do I sit with both those things at the same time? And that is literally my daily life.
Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul, Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, where spirituality and earth wisdom meet racial justice and women's leadership.
Hey, gorgeous. It's Aminata, Desert Rose, Plant Walker, Firewoman here, and I am so glad to be with you today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us your attention and allowing us to feed your heart and your mind and hopefully your soul. Today's episode features Osprey Oriole Lake. She is the author of The Story Is in Our Bones, and she is the founder of We Can, Women's Energy Climate Action Network, Women's Earth Climate Action Network. And Osprey is a phenom. She's a woman of maturity, and yet she is engaged, she is joyful, she's energized, and she is making connections. One of the things we talk about in this interview that I think will help all of us is to think about being in the tension of the immediate demand, the urgent demand, like for clean water or for, you know, to protect the land right now from, you know, big business, right? There's that immediate demand for that or need for that. And as Osprey says, we have to change worldviews, because if you win the little demand, but the worldview remains the same, then you just keep reproducing this struggle over and over again. So as she says, you have to go upstream. But how do you do both at the same time? And how do you care for yourself? How do you keep loving your friends and your family, the earth? How do you take time for that when you got all this important work to do? And if you're like me, you know that tension. You feel that tension in your day-to-day life. So Osprey and I talk about how she works with it, and also how we can appreciate various forms of activism, various forms of transformation work. If you stay on to the end, you're going to hear Osprey talk about the night sky, which is a fabulous way to keep our worldview expanded, to remember that we are in a vast story, that we are amidst many intelligences, and we're all evolving. We're all evolving. So whatever you do, you are evolving. And the conscious co-creation with that evolution is what we're looking for, and to do it with joy. Okay, so that was my, that's my appeal to you, is to consciously co-create and do it with joy. I want to share with you that I have decided, since this eclipse just happened, and I mean, there's all this stuff going on in the cosmic skies right now, I've decided I'm going to root in the higher timeline. My teacher, Jojo Pottinger-Romer, talks about the higher purpose, always going higher, looking for the higher meaning, the evolutionary possibility of this moment as is, rather than being sort of trapped in the pain body and in the, it's like the toothache pain of what happened and how it still hurts you. You know what I mean? It's like Jojo Pa says, grieve, feel, and then ask questions that'll take you into the higher timeline, into your higher why this thing is happening for you. So I'm going to be playing with that all year, and I look forward to sharing how it goes, because for me, it's an experiment. It is an experiment to look at everything that's happened in my life that I've done, that's been done to me, as, aha, this is an evolutionary process needed to bring me to this moment. Wow. Even saying that feels a little scary. So One other thing I want to tell you about is the So Good Slow Down to Regenerate with the Earth apprenticeship that we're opening up again this summer. It's going to start in mid-May, so you have some time. If you want to find out more about it, please sign up for a sacred listening session with me. You can find that on my website under the word free. So during that session, we'll listen for, is this the right thing for you now? This So Good Slow Down to Regenerate with the Earth apprenticeship is great for people who are skirting with burnout, you know, who are riding that tension of long-term and short-term of caring for others and caring for yourself, people who founded organizations or movements or efforts and are now at that point where it's not bringing them the same joy. This is a good space for you. But this is also a good space for you if you are ready and secretly desiring to launch something. Maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's, a new form of work, but you're feeling scared. Or maybe it's some land that you want to share with other people, but, you know, you've got a lot of second thoughts and self-criticism in your way. So this is a great space for people who love this podcast, frankly. So please just go to my website, dramandakemp.com. Go to the tab that says free, and you will find out everything you need to know about signing up for a sacred listening session, which is where we can listen together for what is the right next step for you. Because at the end of the day, I want to support the people who are listening to this podcast and finding and living into your next highest action, which might be taking a sabbatical, by the way, because that was my next highest action when I was in the height of a lot of activity. But let's get back to Asprey Oriel Lake and her book, The Stories in Our Bones. We read it inside the Mother Tree community this past month, and I hope you stay on to the end so you can hear Asprey's greatest wish for you, the listener of the Mother Tree Network. All right, until the next time, I am Aminata, Desert Rose Plant Walker Firewoman, and you are gorgeous. Hey, everyone, it's Aminata, Desert Rose Plant Walker Firewoman, and I'm here today with a very special guest, Asprey Oriel Lake. She's the author of The Story is in Our Bones and the founder of Women's Earth and Climate Action Network. So welcome, Asprey.
Thank you so much. Good to be here with you today.
It's good to have you. It really is. I've enjoyed your book. I was sent it a few months ago, and I really loved how you integrate your story into it, or your stories into it, and the stories of the women and folks who you have worked with or who you have observed, you know, working for the earth and her protection. So I just want to say straight up, I loved your book. I think it's an amazing book. And in the Mother Tree community, we're actually reading it as a community. We'll be discussing it in April.
Well, I tell you, just made my heart glow. Thank you so much for those generous words. And I'm really thrilled and very honored that your group is reading it. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess I want to start. We start off every interview by asking the person, what is good? So what is good to you today on any level that you want to address that?
Wow. Well, what is good today is, we've just here in the Northern Hemisphere are celebrating the spring equinox right now. And I was up this morning and looking at some trees outside of our house that are now blossoming, and just the beauty of the petals and the aroma and the birds singing, and it was just beautiful to see that, because there is a lot of difficulty in our world right now, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of violence. And just to tune back into nature and Mother Earth and see that ever beauty making that is going on every day. And that's what I'm living for and fighting for and wanting communities all over the world to be able to be centered in earth connected communities and families and homes and countries where this is the focus, our relationship with each other and the land. And it was just good to have that breather in the midst of so much turmoil.
Yeah. Me too. It is such a counterpoint to the suffering that's happening right now. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, because you talk about this in your book, was about, in some ways, you talk about multiple timelines, you know? And you talk about how there's one world that is coming apart. And there's another world being pulled forward, being brought forward. Tell me about, like, how do you hold both of those things? Or where do you put your focus? If both of those things are true, where do you put your focus?
Oh, that's such a marvelous question. Really, I think it's an ongoing process. It's like a living question you ask me, because it's something I ask myself literally every day. We're, you know, every day working to help communities in any way we can, but at the same time, we need to go upstream and look at our worldviews. How do we get into this crisis? What is our thinking? How do we transform these systems that caused these harms? And how do we come back to being in an earth lineage and being in a place of egalitarian societies, as some of our ancestors, many did in the past? And how do we actually get rooted again in equity and justice and love and care and reciprocity with the land? And that's an upstream question, because that involves our worldviews and how we see ourselves in relationship to the land. And I'll just give one example of, you know, when we look at what's happened in modernity, there's this idea that we're no longer part of nature. We're above nature, humans above nature. And so how do we regenerate these ancient knowledge systems that we all had, wherever our ancestors are from originally, that we are living in an animate cosmology? We're living in a world of relatives. The trees are our relatives. The water is our relatives. All humans are equal and are our relatives. The mountain is alive. The wind is alive. And how do we bring back the fact that we're in this living universe? Because when we see the earth as alive and our relative, we will treat the earth differently. And so it's also a worldview question of how do we come back to balance in egalitarian societies? And how do we also regenerate the sense of an animate world that we are part and particle of?
Yeah. You know, when you just said that, two questions I want to ask you. I want to ask you about earth lineage. So let's put a little pin in that. But the other piece about what you said in terms of worldview is the earth as living. And everyone around us is a sibling, but also as maybe an authority, having a perspective that we need. What do you think about that? Like consulting the land, the earth, the trees, on what do you want? What would you have us do next?
Hey, beautiful Aminata here, and I am wanting to invite you to Sound Healing for Peacemakers. It is a free, complimentary download for all of us who want more peace in the world, in the Middle East, in our bodies, in our families. Sound Healing for Peacemakers is for you. Just go to my website, dramandakemp.com. See you there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful framing. And I really resonate with that. Absolutely. You know, again, you know, sort of taking into account that the earth is alive and the trees and the rivers and the mountains are alive, they're also our teachers, is how I would look at it. And I know, you know, when I wrote this book, the first place I went to see the idea is in the ancient redwood trees that are here on the California coast. They're very, very old, thousands of years old. And I think that when we sit with nature, we have different thoughts and experiences if we tune in and listen, both at a spiritual, emotional, and mental level in terms of guidance, but also at a very practical level about how to invent things, how to do things that are conducive to a healthy ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, just looking at my own evolution, you know, in terms of how my activism has evolved over time, I remember talking with somebody in the early 90s. This is like back when I was in grad school. And this is a group of young Black people, and we were talking about something. And Alice Walker had just come out with a collection of essays, I think. And one of her refrains, or maybe it was a poem, one of her refrains was, "Hug a tree. When they do this to you, hug a tree." And I remember this one young student who was there, you know, I was like, "Yeah, I really love that." He was like, "Come on, Amanda, hug a tree." And I, you know, and I laughed, because at that time, the way we understood the world, that does nothing. You know, that's just, you know, you opting out. But there's a whole shift going on right now, right? And how we look at who makes change, who is wise, who has consciousness. And so that advice to hug a tree has really come back to me. Mm. And I wonder, how do you recommend that people start to have a relationship and be able to cultivate the ability to listen?
Lila June Johnson is a really wonderful teacher around this. She's a Navajo, beautiful, powerful woman who's also an artist who teaches about how, you know, we were at one time a keystone species, indigenous peoples here in Turtle Island, the United States of America, and worked with the land. And even though when white settlers came here, it looked like wilderness, it wasn't. It was land that had been tended very carefully to ensure, you know, balance in ecosystems. And I think this is something that we need to really talk about and figure out once again. How do we get our modern societies to move from being a detriment to the land into a different framing and worldview of how do we actually enhance nature and be a part of nature in a healthy way?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. I'm thinking about you because you're talking about changing worldviews. And so, and the first step is to move the body towards something, move the body and the attention, you know, out of the spaces where we get colonized. Honestly, if you look at where these screens, you know, whatever size they are, the constant piping in of information, and there's something different about the pace of nature. Mm. It's almost like it's not, you know, the language is more symbolic. It's different. It just takes a different tuning. Mm.
Yeah, I love what you said about pacing. It's really, I think, such a big component. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, in my book, I'm also addressing this concept of time. Time and pacing and how we actually are, you know, from my understanding, in a real interesting time puzzle, you might say, a time riddle. Mm-hmm. Because on the one hand, I see that we really need to slow down and listen to nature and have time for our friends and family and to do things in a really deep and well and thoughtful way. And at the same time, we live in a society under capitalism and colonization that is so extractive of our time our attention, our spirit, our emotions, our thinking is just constantly pushing us forward just to pay rent, care for our families, and get food and take care of our health. Those basic things are under enormous pressure every day. And so we're not really living at the pace of well-being, most of us. And this really takes away from our health and also our ability to tune into listening to nature while you're scrambling around trying to get to your next appointment or meeting or meet your bills or whatever is going on. And so, you know, we have rare moments where we get to actually maybe get quiet to see what is our natural rhythm and pace to be in a different worldview, a different mindset, and a different relationship with ourselves. And so I do think that pace is a really big thing, and how at the same time we need to slow down and maybe garden or, you know, do things that bring us into a place with the land and also help us care for our families. You know, we also know that the climate crisis and environmental degradation are piling down on us. And so I know at the Women's Earth and Climate Action Network every day, I get emergency calls at least two or three times a week, you know, around some crisis, you know, whether it's a fossil fuel pipeline that has exploded or some company coming into one of the communities that we work with a new, you know, deforestation project, or it goes on and on. And this requires a certain kind of campaign fired up energy, which I don't think is bad. You know, this is how to respond to a crisis and urgency, but you know, there's different timelines. And this is why I was sharing that at the beginning of the book, that what I'm learning, you know, everyone has different ways of entering this. For me, I've sort of entered into this realm of a multifaceted timeline where I have to allow myself to be in non-linearity, in a non-linear framework. In other words, I need a way to be, you know, with nature, be with my family, friends, and close to nature, and be in a slower pace while simultaneously I'm fired up and racing forward on a campaign that's urgent. And how do I sit with both those things at the same time? And that is literally my daily life. I'm doing yes. both at the same time, attempting to. And it's just what is. And it from a sort of a Western logical view, it doesn't make sense. But when I let go and I accept it, it seems to work to some degree. And it seems to me unavoidable. In other words, I must have some quiet or I cannot function and support the work that we do. But I'm also aware there's a lot of late nights, early mornings, and, you know, extreme situations to be in. Some of the women we work with are land defenders whose lives are being threatened for their land defense. Like, that's not going to go on hold. And these are my friends and family and colleagues. And yes, I'm going to respond quickly. So I've tried to just relax into that both are going to happen at the same time.
Wow. I'm just taking that in because it is so real. It is so real. I wonder how you feel about subtle activism or energy activism. One of the things that I've noticed, and this could be, do you know what I mean by that?
I'd love to hear your definition. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. When I think of those terms, I'm thinking of people who are doing work in other realms. So there is the 3D realm of, you know, the meetings with lawmakers and the elections and the on the ground land defense, and then the support of the people on the ground and land defense, like getting resources to them. So that's one form of action for change. Another form of action for change is to work at it on an energetic level. You call it worldview, and I think it is partly mindset, it is worldview in that sense, but it's also, it's immaterial, non-material, energetic. You could call it spiritual, where you are, or you can call it prayer. people do different forms of what I would call energy activism. And so I wonder, it could be holding a vision, you know, as opposed to like holding the vision of what this right relationship with the earth could be in your community, outside your house, or, you know, however big you want to make it. Does that explain what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yes.
So I wonder how you feel about that kind of activism. And I wonder if you ever do any of that.
Yes, I do. I just hadn't heard that specific term. So thank you. I've never heard the term energy activism. I've heard of spiritual activism, but I hadn't heard specifically of energy activism. So thank you so much for that beautiful definition. Yeah, I absolutely think that's key. You know, and I also like your description and explanation, because it could be different for different communities of people and how they might tune in spiritually. It might be meditation, it might be prayer, it might be visualizing things. So each to their own, for sure. But I do think it's really important in the ecosystem, if you will, of activism. And I think that's sort of the model that I operate from, is that when we do work to bring healing to the earth or activism, it's an ecosystem. And so however each of us feels that we are best aligned or attracted to or makes sense to us is where to plug in. I just believe that we're at such a critical tipping point for humanity and our living ecosystems, that wherever people feel that they're passionate about or make sense to them, the main thing is roll up your sleeves and get in, you know, to get engaged, not step back on the sidelines. One, because we're all needed right now. And two, the earth needs us. And three, it also helps with our anxiety and helps with our concerns, because when you act, you also generate hope for yourself. You're actually participating in this great moment of transition in the human adventure, if you will. You know, we are in this big enterprise together as the human species at a critical cusp point, you know, at a critical moment. And so everyone needs to get engaged, as far as I'm concerned. No one needs to be on the sidelines, but we don't all need to do the same thing. You know, we should do it in the way that we're called to do, that we're called to do. And that could be prayer or meditation or, you know, whole, you know, I know some of the women we work with do a lot of spiritual work around the water and protection of waters and forests. So I think there's a myriad of ways in the ecosystem that is collectively part of the new trajectory, the movement we're trying to get into to change where we are to where we actually need to be going. The only other thing I will say on that one piece is that that's, you know, my bottom line on it, but I want to put a little flag, which is I do think it's also important to be critical, because there is also, you know, what some people have termed spiritual bypassing or bypassing in different ways. So I think, you know, I would just put one caveat, which is, and, you know, it's not a place to escape. You know, I wouldn't want the energy work or spiritual activism to not have a critical look at not of sort of saying, okay, everyone else would be responsible, take care of it. You know, I'm very enlightened, and so I'm not going to participate. Mm. And so I just think it's important to be balanced when we look at these things. It's also true of sort of the more manifest activism that you talked about. I mean, there can be all kinds of problems in being very, very active on the ground with no time for reflection or meditation or assessment of one's assumptions and worldviews. So you can get out there and just start doing action. Well, maybe your action's not helping.
So Asprey, one of the levels that I want to get to is how has your work, you know, working on the front lines, or supporting people on the front lines, stepping back, cultivating relationships, slowing down, speeding up, like being living in both of those spaces. What I guess I want to know is who or what do you feel is supporting you? Are there ancestors that you work with? Are there nature spirits? Who or what is bodies of water?
So for me, it's very, very important to have places on the land that I can go and get renewal and listen to the advice of nature, as we've been talking about. So for me, that place is the redwood trees I was mentioning earlier. I often go to the redwood trees. I try to go hiking as often as possible on the land. I'm also here on the California coast. So, you know, this is an ocean place. And so going to the ocean is hugely renewing and also informative. So I would say between the redwood trees and the ocean, and then we have a couple of times a year, the whale migrations here, which I really love to see, the gray whales migrating. These are all very important to me. And also the night sky. It's very important to me at the end of a big, long work day when it's not raining to go outside and to look at the night sky. And I find that seeing the stars is very, you know, we're talking about worldview and paradigm shifts and different mindsets. Somehow for me, along, of course, with the ocean and the redwoods, seeing the stars is also really profound because it kind of gives that perspective of reminding me and all of us that we're on this planet in space. And it's something we don't talk about on a daily basis because of all the things we were talking about in modernity and just our daily lives and the pace that we live. But, you know, if I stop and just take a minute and realize where we are, I just find it very startling. It's such a contrast to looking at our computer screens and everything else. And yet it is so profound that we're on this living planet in space, the magnificence of it, the miracle of it. It's just so astonishing. And to bring that perspective in on a frequent basis has really transformed how I do everything to keep remembering the fact that we're, you know, in this gift of life, really, and how it's hard to even put our minds around how profound it is that there are even human beings at all that have evolved. And what are we doing with this precious gift and this wonder and this awe? What are we doing with this? And what is my responsibility? And this is something that is very deep and something that I come back to again and again. And then in terms of humans, you know, I'm very fortunate over many years to have incredible mentors, you know, particularly Indigenous leaders and Black women that I have learned from. I think those have been my main teachers, and I have learned so much from women's leadership, frontline women's leadership. And also Indigenous women who are very connected to the land and have taught me so much. So I owe everything to the mentors that I have that are both human and non-human.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just had a conversation with Barb Horn, who was also on the show, who's a student of the night sky. And it was just in that conversation I realized, wow, we are in space right now. We are in space. So, yeah. And you do talk about that in your book. I love that you begin your book by looking up at the night sky and pointing out the constellations and how in Orion, there's stars that are really, really far away, like thousands of light years. And there are some that just a few hundred light years. And so those, we're in two different time lines by just being able to absorb those stars.
Exactly. I just, you know, because the book is very vast in its scope, with many stories and many different experiences of how we can change a worldview, that when I started by saying, like, how can I create enough space on the page and in the reader's mind to open ourselves to this discussion? And that's exactly, you know, what came to me is, you know, looking at the night sky, these constellations. And as you said, by the time the light of those different stars come to me here on Earth, they're completely in a different timeline because of how light travels, how many light years it takes to actually touch the Earth with that light. And so that really moved me into understanding, well, I'm standing here, but I'm seeing various timelines, but I'm having that experience. So we can understand more about living in this multifaceted timeline because it's happening to us every day. And we look at the night sky, we actually can experience that. And I find that very intriguing and also helping us to expand what we think is reality, what we think is as time.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And we have access to the stars. I know a lot of us live, as you said, in urban centers, and there's a lot of light pollution, and we can still get access. There's still some access. So, Osprey, we're going to need to wrap up, but I want to ask you one more question. And that question is, if there's anything that you want people who, you know, are rooted in justice and love to think about or to do differently after hearing this interview, what would that be?
Oh, gosh, I have so much love and excitement and respect for people who are working in the realm of justice and love. To me, we are kin. We are together. We're working collectively together. And, you know, I just look to all of us as, you know, mutually working together on a collective vision for a different world. And the one thing I would say is, you know, I hope everyone who's working in this space has friendship, has community, has love and well-being, because it's challenging work. It's such beautiful work.
Mm, beautiful. And if people want to stay in touch with you or they want to find out more about you, where should they go?
The Women's Earth and Climate Action Network, our website is www.wecan, W-E-C-A-N, and then the word international spelled out, wecaninternational.org. And then for my book, I have a website under my name, www.OspreyOrielLake.earth.
Beautiful. Thank you, Osprey Oriel Lake, the author of The Story is in Our Bones. The story is in our bones. I love that. Love that allusion to our ancestors, deep knowledge, all of that. So I highly recommend it, and we will see you on the next time. That is a wrap. It has been so good to be with you today, gorgeous. If you hear anything on this podcast that you think would help a friend or a family member, please pass it on and leave us a review. Leave us some stars. It helps us to know what is impacting people. I'm Aminata Desert Rose, Plant Walker, Fire Woman, and you are gorgeous. See you next time.